Major Stacy Saffron, welcome back to American Warrior. It's been a while since we had you on. Stacy, what are you doing now?
Hey, Ben. Thanks for the invitation to talk today. I am stationed in Norfolk, Virginia now, and I'm working in a joint public affairs office supporting the Department of Defense.
Excellent. Well, stay safe.
Of course, always.
Now, Stacy, we had you on a couple of shows ago talking about some of the some of your assignments when you were deployed in Afghanistan. And, of course, as we talk about independence and liberty and freedom on Independence Day, that's the main reason I wanted to have you on was a lot of us who've grown up, who've, you know, generations have been here in the United States, we kind of don't give it a second thought. It's sort of in our DNA, and we enjoy the liberties and freedoms without thinking much about it. But you spent some time in Afghanistan working with some of the women up in the more remote areas, trying to instill some of these concepts or similar concepts. Tell us a little bit in the context of Independence Day, maybe what that was like.
Yeah, it was in 2008 and 2009 when I was serving on a provincial reconstruction team in Afghanistan, and I had the honor to work with the women that lived in the area where we operated out of, and I had the chance to learn about their personal lives, and they were very curious about our lives here in America, and it was just so unique because my male colleagues were unable to have those opportunities just because of the way that the traditions and cultures are over in that part of the world. And so I learned a lot about what it's like for the women over there, and it's pretty tough. While more and more girls are starting to go to school and more opportunities are coming their way, it's still they still have challenges over there, and I was able to see that, and we tried to put together some programs to help women grow their own businesses that they could do with other women or from their homes, and also built schools so the girls could go to school. And so there were opportunities like that. And since I've left, I've tried to keep up and follow to see what the progress has been over in Afghanistan since I left, and with the continued work of the rest of the service members. And, you know, it's nice when you see those good stories and see what's happening in terms of women's advancement.
Stacy, did you find it a challenge in that, and obviously you're well-trained, you've got lots of experience, but did you find it somewhat of a challenge in that you went into those discussions and that interaction with those women in Afghanistan with a lifelong set of established values and just kind of, like I said, things that we take for granted and just assume about life? Did you find yourself having to kind of sort of check yourself and step back and say, now, wait a minute, not only do we have a language barrier, but we've just got centuries of differences in the just kind of the whole civil rights, the position of women in their society and those sorts of things?
No, I don't think I had like too much of a struggle with that because I'd read about it and I tried to understand it, and I just know that obviously not every country is the same as the United States, and so when we were over there, we were just trying to make the world, like their world, a better place and a safer place for them, and obviously be sensitive to the issues, but mm-hmm. I think back too to the history in America and the struggles and the challenges that we've had advancing human rights here in our own country, and I'm respectful enough to understand that doors had to be opened by women generations before me too, and mm-hmm. you know, very similar even for how women have evolved in terms of their military careers and service. So I think I can just liken it to the fact that they're coming along just as women in our country, men and women and gender and race and all of these things have had to evolve in the United States. They're coming along there too in Afghanistan.
Now, Stacy, having served in that capacity, did it give you maybe a little extra special appreciation for what we do have and what we have been able to achieve here in our nation?
Oh, of course. I think for me, having deployed three times now, twice to Afghanistan and once to Iraq, and also just traveled and lived abroad, I definitely have an appreciation for what we have here in America. And most recently, I was in the Philippines last November after the tsunami hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that was around the time of our Thanksgiving, and to see how much all of those people lost, and then to come back to America where we have so many things to be thankful for, I definitely just have a bigger appreciation. And I feel like I have an appreciation for what the women in Afghanistan are fighting for. They're fighting for their lives to be able to go to school and run for elected office, to vote, you know, simple things like reporting the news. And in my career, I'm a public affairs officer, and I'm also a journalist. And I mean, just something simple is being able to cover the news and not be afraid of what your government is going to do to you, to have that courage. You know, just something I really admired.
Well, and that strikes to the heart of the message I'm trying to get out this Sunday, Stacey. I appreciate you saying that. I mean, just the idea that, you know, they literally risk their lives just to vote. And here in the United States, some people don't even bother. And things that we take for granted, like the media and the ability to interact directly with our elected officials, is something that we often overlook, how fortunate we have and how people like you have earned that for us in blood. And I know you've lost comrades who've defending those freedoms for us. So, Major Stacey Chaffron, thank you for what you do. I hope you enjoy this 4th of July holiday. Anything else you'd like to, any other thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners today?
I do, actually. Just last night I was visiting Washington, D.C., and I went by the Lincoln Memorial during the evening, and I didn't expect there to be so many people at almost 9 o'clock at night visiting the memorial. And I just sat on the steps and just observed. And I was such a proud American last night. People from all over the world were there in our nation's capital, just soaking it in and learning about our history and our culture. And I was so proud of that. And to sit at the footsteps where we have this memorial for Abraham Lincoln and what he did to advance our country, you know, with the Emancipation Proclamation and things like that. It was hard not to feel patriotic, especially as we're celebrating our nation's independence. So we have a great country and a lot of men and women who are working really hard just to keep our way of life protected and safe. And
Stacey, thanks for reminding us about that. We often think about on 4th of July about the foundation of the Union, but we don't necessarily think that much about people like Lincoln who held the Union together and even pushed it forward with some of the things he did. So, Stacey, again, thank you for your service to our nation. Thanks for coming back to American Warrior, and stay safe. Enjoy your holiday. Now we're going to go to another one of our callers, Colonel Lee Ellis, who spent almost 6 years as a prisoner of war in Vietnam. And, boy, you talk about a situation where someone lost freedom and got a chance to really experience what it's like to not have liberty, Colonel Lee Ellis. So, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned and listen to what Colonel Ellis had to say on this Independence Day weekend. We're a guest here on this program months upon months ago, but for our listeners who weren't tuned in at that time, Colonel Lee Ellis, you are a pilot, you're a consultant, a speaker. We see you on the national circuit quite a bit. Also the author of Leading with Honor, Leadership Lessons from the Hanoi Hilton. Now, Lee, number one, Lee, welcome back to American Warrior.
Oh, thank you very much, Ben. Good to be with you today.
Well, I'm so glad to have you join us. Now, so often it's said we don't know what we've got until we've lost it. And as we're talking today about independence and freedom and liberty, you had one of the most extreme cases that I can think of having lost your freedom and liberty. You were I won't use the word guest, a prisoner of war in the notorious Hanoi Hilton from November of 67 through March of 1973, correct?
Yes, that's correct. It was, generically speaking, we talk of all the camps being the Hanoi Hilton, but I was in the Hanoi Hilton for 9 months and then away in another camp out of Sante for 2 years, then back to the Hilton for a couple of years and in the mountains for about 9 months and then in a release camp there in town for a couple of months. So it was it all focused right around Hanoi.
Now, Lee, for our listeners, there's so many things that we do in America and that we don't even think twice about. Just this last night, I went out and took a walk around the neighborhood. Don't think about that necessarily in the context of independence and freedom and liberty, but I was free to make a choice and to do it. But when you were locked up there in Vietnam, all of a sudden you didn't have any of those choices anymore. Can you kind of speak about sort of the initial shock of, or maybe that you didn't appreciate what you had until you didn't have it anymore? Or what? I mean, what were your thoughts when you first were a prisoner there?
Well, I think the first thing is I did appreciate the fact that I was still alive, because that was in question a couple of times en route to Hanoi when my airplane was shot out from under me there over enemy territory and almost landed right in the hands of the gunners, but they were surrounded me and captured me within a couple of minutes. So once the shock settled in and I started to accustomize myself to the shock of being in a POW in a place like the Hanoi Hilton, which was a real kind of like a medieval bastille there, I did want freedom so badly. You know, some of the things that I wanted most was to see the sunrise, see stars at night. But as my friend Paul Galani says, you know, when the lock is on the outside and somebody's locked you in, you don't have that option. And that was just being locked up and knowing that I couldn't walk out the door and go look at the sky was a big thing for me. And then over the years, not having any choices much at all, except, whether or not I would eat fast or slow, my little bowl of soup, those kind of things, but not many choices. So coming home, it was just incredibly wonderful to be free, to be able to walk out in the yard at day or night, see the sky, walk around as you were talking about taking a walk. It was fabulous.
Now, did you and your fellow prisoners of war, did the subject, I have to guess that the subject of freedom and the appreciation of what you had came up on occasion?
Yeah, it did, and I think it was along the lines of which we're speaking right now, and that was that, you know, people at home don't have any idea what it's like to lose their freedom. I mean, this is something our country has accepted as being just kind of a thing that happens automatically for us, that we don't really appreciate it that much. Being able to be free to get in a car and go somewhere or to take a walk or to choose to go to bed or not to go to bed, those kind of things. It's become so accepted and so commonplace. It's part of our way of life, and that's a good thing. But also, it's not so good to just take that for granted because so many people in the world didn't have that.
Well, and Colonel, that's precisely why I wanted to get your perspective on this show here today, was because you've seen, as an American who's lived that and appreciated it and perhaps taken it for granted, then you saw the most extreme other side of that coin. And not just the big things like voting or some of the other, you know, kind of sort of constitutional things we think about, but mm-hmm. like you said, the just basics. I can't leave when I want. I can't sleep when I want. Just the, so you yeah. were deprived of some of the most basic items.
Exactly, and one of the biggest things that bothered me then and bothers me now in some ways is the propaganda. We had propaganda three times a day. The Communist Party, every word was chosen by them to make you feel a certain way. A lot of people in politics want to make you feel a certain way rather than look at logic or facts. They just want to make you feel, and that's what the communists do. So morning, noon, and night we had this propaganda, a little bit of truth and a whole lot of lies to make us try to get us to believe a certain way, to think a certain way, and ultimately to try to convince us that we should side with them in the war.
Wow, so it wasn't just the freedom of movement or the freedom of choice, but literally in your case the freedom of thought.
That's right. Well, they tried to intrude on our thoughts with this propaganda. Here's the thing, every cell had a speaker in it. Except one up in the mountains, there was no electricity, so we didn't have a speaker. But every other cell, for more than almost 5 full years, we had 3 times a day, we had propaganda blasted into our room. And it was no less for the local populace because they had speakers blaring into the rice field up and down the streets. And they still do, but now they only do it once a day, I think, because I was over there in February and I saw some T-shirts that said, basically, we get our morning propaganda at 6:30, and they showed some loudspeakers. So they were kind of making fun of the Communist Party's propaganda every day.
Yeah, you know, Lee, as we talk about freedom and liberty, do you see, how recently were you back?
I went back, I was there February the 28th, 27th, 28th, I think March the 1st.
What, have you seen any changes? Do you see
lot of changes. The people are getting more freedoms. The Communist Party controls the media and a little bit on the communication and transportation. And they do keep people in line. If you want to work for the government, for instance, you would have to pay become a party member for certain jobs, and you would have to pay $5,000 if you want to be a school teacher, kind of a bribe to the party. So the party is skimming off the profits from the businesses, but since we opened up trade with them and opened up investment, the West came in, and they have their economy has jumped up in the last 15 or 20 years since Western investment came in, and they're doing pretty well. Their economy's growing. They were really hurting under the communism, complete communism, until they allowed Western business in, and now the people have gained a lot of freedom. They seem to be happy overall. They don't like the communists. They don't like the Russians. They don't like the Chinese, and they like Americans a lot. So we thought that, you know, in our visit, that we could see that we're winning that war every day.
Mm. Now, Lee, when you finally were released and came back, I'm sure that was a joyous feeling. But what was one of the first things you did when you got back, if you remember, to express your freedom and your newly regained liberty?
Well, the thing that I probably on a day-to-day basis that we most all missed was freedom to choose what we ate, because eating is a very personal and thing, something you want to do every day. And I used to have dreams almost every night the first year or so. We were always hungry. And I would be dreaming I was in a cafeteria with a tray going through getting eggs and sausage and bacon and toast and pancakes and orange juice and coffee and all that. And when I came home, we landed about 4:30 in the afternoon at Clark Air Base in the Philippines. We went straight to the hospital. We dumped our release clothes and put on the hospital pajamas and a robe and some slippers, and we went straight to the chow hall, and we got in that line with our trays, and I loaded up with several eggs and sausage and bacon and ham and toast and grits and hash browns and ate that, and then I went back and got a steak and a couple more eggs, and then I went back and got ice cream and ice pie and ice cream.
Sometimes it's the basic things, right?
Sometimes it's the very basic things. And then I was able to, that night, I called home and talked to my family and had a really good visit with them. I called them again the next day. Then we went down and got a uniform, and that was a very exciting experience to get a uniform again. And then we started making, you know, that we did a two days of quick physicals and a haircut, uniform, and then we got on an airplane and flew back to the States and met our families, and it was all great. We didn't have to make many choices there, but when I started going shopping and had to start making choices again, it was almost overwhelming.
Now, Lee, we've got just about a minute before the next break, but what are you noticing now there on this Independence Day weekend? What are some of your thoughts as you look out across the nation, this nation that you've fought to protect?
I think the thing that I see as the greatest threat to our freedom right now is lies, or the absence of truth. People call it spin. You can call it whatever you want to, but propaganda, spin, lies, there's just way too much of that going on. It's become more of an accepted thing in politics, and I'm seeing a business seems to be getting cleaned up, but the educational institutions are propagandizing right and left. It seems like everybody's doing everything they can to promote their ideology rather than promoting the truth and the facts and the foundations of our freedom. And I think that's the biggest threat we have right now. We need to stand for truth. We need to demand truth. We need to hold ourselves accountable and others accountable for the truth, because the truth always sets you free.
Wonderful, wonderful. Colonel Ellis, Lee Ellis, thank you so much for what you've done to preserve freedom and independence and liberty in our country. I wish you the best, sir, and thanks for checking back in with American Warrior.
Thank you, Ben. Always good to chat with you, and God bless.
You too, sir.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the village where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on.
Up, someone you might have heard of, someone who I think should be listed in the dictionary as patriot. Our first calling guest, actor, musician, Gary Sinise. We're joined with one of our other more popular past guests on American Warrior, actor, musician, my favorite part, musician, Gary Sinise. Gary, welcome back to American Warrior.
Thanks for having me, Ben. Good to be here.
Well, Gary, I tell you what, I personally feel that in the dictionary under the word patriot, there ought to be your picture. I'm serious. The amount of things that you do for our men and women in the military and to advance the principles of military service and freedom, all of us should take some time to thank you very much. They can visit GarySiniseFoundation.org to find out more about what you're doing and to pitch in to help out, correct?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Go to GarySiniseFoundation.org. Lots of great stuff on the website, on the blog page. You'll be able to look at the history of different events and different things we're involved in. And we have a lot of money to raise because there's a lot of need after 13 years of war. We've been at war for a long time now. And, unfortunately, the men and women who serve our country and who get hurt and the Gold Star families who lose loved ones, they aren't always on the front pages, as we're seeing now. And so they have a lot of needs after a lot of sacrifice over these many, many years. And it's up to all of us to pitch in and try to give back and do something to support them. I believe they are, after all, our freedom providers, and that we can never take what they do and what they sacrifice for granted.
Well, and Gary, that's really why I wanted to have you part of this discussion as we're talking about independence and freedom and liberty. And I'll tell you, frankly, it was something that you said at your concert here at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base that inspired me to put together this program on Independence Day weekend. And it was an intro that you did just before, I believe it was the final song of the concert. And you spent some time talking to the folks there about your time in Korea and how you had seen how, you know, that many years ago, the folks on the south side, South Korea, ended up being the lucky ones. And the folks in North Korea, they don't even understand. They've got no concept of freedom and liberty. I don't know if you remember that moment. You probably, I don't know if you say that at all the concerts or not, but can you maybe just sort of reprise that feeling that you felt that you've seen out there on the road?
Well, it's something that I share from time to time because I like to tell people, share experiences and stories of things that I've seen in my travels to support the men and women who serve. And I remember being up on the DMZ between North and South Korea. I've been there a couple times, and the first time was especially kind of eerie because you can stand right on the border, and about 100 yards away from you are North Korean guards staring back, and you have the South Koreans on the side that you're on. And then about 100 yards away, you have North Korean guards staring at you with binoculars and looking at you and keeping an eye on things. And, you know, you really just stand there and you realize, boy, this place right here, there's no place on earth probably where there's the palpable difference between freedom and tyranny more than standing here. I'm on the free side, and here just a few yards away from me is the slavery side. And all these people in North Korea who were separated from their loved ones who have been free in South Korea all this time, they have no real concept of what living in a free society is. They worship the supreme leader. If they toe the line, they might be okay. If they don't toe the line, they could end up in a slavery prison camp, or, you know, even worse.
Or worse, yeah.
And this is the way the world works. You know, not everybody gets to enjoy the free society that we've grown accustomed to here. And we have to realize that freedom has to be fought for and protected and defended. And not everybody has that. There are many armies around the world that are there to take your freedom away and to oppress you rather than liberate and protect that freedom the way our military does. And so we should value those freedom providers each and every day and realize that they will be called upon throughout the 21st century to do something dangerous. And we're lucky that we have people that are willing to put that uniform on and go defend us.
Well, well spoken, Gary, and it's precisely those kind of words that are the reason I wanted to have you share your thoughts with our listeners on this Independence Day weekend. You travel around quite a bit. You've been to, you know, as the example there in the Korean Peninsula, where you've seen the very stark visible difference between those that are free and those that aren't. But have there been, when you're stateside in the United States, have you ever seen anything where it kind of makes you wonder, I guess the idea that it's not just the soldiers that need to be vigilant to defend freedom, but each of us in our everyday lives?
Oh, sure. You know, I think, unfortunately, there's a giant kind of disconnect between the military and the majority of the American people. Because we, you know, when you think of the small percentage, the handful of people that actually serve in the military versus those who don't, and the fact that, you know, the majority of the country really doesn't understand what military service is because they don't have anybody in their own families who are actually serving, you realize the need to try to bridge that gap and to educate and kind of inform people as to what our military does and why it's so critical that we keep them strong and why we all are so fortunate that we have those that are willing to go out and defend our liberty, our freedom, our independence. Like I said, there's half of 1% of the American population defends this country. That means there's, you know, the majority of us maybe have a distant veteran in our family or something like that, but we're disconnected to the current active day service member.
Well, and Gary, that, like I said, you, of all people that I know, you're probably the leading person who's out there on a regular basis and who's engaging with those men and women who have paid the price to maintain that freedom. You know, some who've paid the ultimate price their lives, but many, as you've talked about, as your foundation seeks to help those who have survived, but live now every day with maybe perhaps a new sense of a new challenge when it comes to independence.
Well, and that's a role that I see that I can play here, Ben, is is just because I get to interact with the military community, you know, on a regular basis, and I have a foundation that's supporting them, and I go to the war zones and go to military bases and that kind of thing. You know, I just feel that a way that I can serve is to share the stories of meeting the people and seeing what they do in military service and trying to help other people understand. You know, I think, you know, if more and more people understand the cost of freedom and understand why it's necessary to support that are the people that are willing to, you know, to pay that price,
mm-hmm.
then maybe we'll better take care of those people when they need it. We know that the government can't do everything and certainly has failed in many ways our veterans through the Veterans Administration system. While there are some great people that work there and do great things, we know that it's a giant government bureaucracy and things are going to fall through the cracks. Well, that's where the private citizen comes in. Well, that's where the nonprofit organization comes in, who is devoted to our veterans, and why I've tried to support so many of those nonprofits, and then ended up starting my own, because traveling around the country and around the world, where the military is and where the veterans are, and you get to see where those needs are, and then I just felt that there was a role for me to play in. Not only trying to educate people as to what our military does, but to try to give back to them and encourage others to do the same.
Well, and I got to tell you that when it comes to that situation, I'm very fiscally conservative, but there's some places where we shouldn't be looking to save money. And this situation with what's been happening to our veterans is tragic, and it's not at all acceptable. One bit, and all the more reason why I am so grateful, Gary, that you're out there doing what you do.
Well, thank you so much, Ben. I'm just feel that this is a great country. Freedom is precious. We saw what happened when 19 guys with box cutters got on those planes, and the damage that they did, and that's all they had was box cutters, and we just. We're very fortunate that we have people out there, you know, on watch, on guard, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, to try to prevent those serious bad guys from getting more dangerous weapons.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No better words spoken. Gary, thank you so much for your time. Love to have you back sometime. Now, I tell you, I am still working on that script for CSI Tucson. I'm telling you, look at what's happening on the border now, Gary. I mean, come on, this is a lot of good episodes there.
Well, you better get it together.
Will do, sir. Gary, best to you and your family. I hope you have a safe Independence Day, and thanks for what you continue to do for our troops. Just one other reminder, folks, you should help out. Visit GarySinisFoundation.org and let them know how you can help Gary out to support our veterans and their families. Gary, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Ben. Happy for it.
I'm joined in studio by Jeff Usch, a constitutional scholar. I like that word, Jeff, scholar. Regular guest on the JMT Harris Show. You probably heard him. Anything you'd like to share about those men and women who do volunteer to stand the watch?
Absolutely. You know, every time I have the opportunity and honor of being with them and being a part of their training, I am in awe. And, you know, I never feel worthy to mm-hmm. really be there. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to give a little bit. You know, I was back with a group when 9/11 happened, and I went through a really depressing time in my life because I was the only one not deploying with the group I was with, because mm-hmm. I'm a civilian contractor. And, you know, about 6 months to a year later after that experience, I sat down with one of my friends, and they had started taking casualties and people killed. And I asked them, what can we do? You know, what can I do? What can we do as citizens to support and help you guys? And the first thing he said was, look, if I get it over there, if I die, you know, take care of my family. I was like, wow, how can we do that? But we see guys like Gary Sinise stepping up, mm-hmm. like the Navy SEAL Foundation, Special Operations Warrior Foundation, and all these others that do great things to help our veterans, either wounded or dead and their families, kids going to college and so forth and so on. And I think it's very important for us to give back like that. But number two, he said, do your best. And I sat there and I couldn't figure that out for a while. Do your best. What's he mean by that? But he really gets it. He said that because he's basically saying, in my opinion, look, if I'm over here sacrificing, I want to make sure it's worth it, that you take advantage of the freedoms that you have, that I'm protecting here, and that you do your best in whatever thing you're doing. So I was just like, wow, he really gets why he's on the front line, to give us the opportunity to reach whatever potential that we have. And so as Americans, if we are not taking advantage of this Declaration of Independence, of the Constitution, of the rule of law, of the foundation that our forefathers have given us to reach our individual potential, whatever that is, and all of us have been given talents to give back, then are we really honoring and revering not only those women, men and women in the service today, but our founders? Are we being good stewards of the inheritance that we're given? Now, recently on the TV, I've seen, you know, these interviews of why do you love America, and you know, and you have a lot of people saying, hey, I love it. We can do whatever we want when we want. And you know, I thought your guest, the colonel, who came on and was really loving the food, you know, when he came out, and I take my kids and say, look at this grocery store, the greatest kings on earth didn't have this, and enjoy it. You know, maybe we'll always have it, maybe we won't. But the point is that we need to reach the full measure of whatever we have and enjoy the freedoms and protect them. And Lincoln, I come back to Lincoln, which one of your former guests talked about, in his Lyceum speech, which was his first public speaking, major speaking event, he said the dangers of losing our freedom are going to come from within at a much greater risk than anything from without. Mm-hmm. So while our servicemen are protecting us from without, we have to do our duty from within to protect the freedoms that we have.